Everybody has their Bible, correct?
Yes.
See? All right. Oh, that was horrible. All right, so I'm going to ask Elena to open us up in prayer, if she would. Amen. Awesome. So we're going to be studying in Timothy. I haven't even coughed all evening. So Timothy, in Greek, does anybody know what Timothy means in Greek? Well, I'll read 1 and 2 Timothy, but we'll be mostly in 1 Timothy. I feel all crowded. It's like they're like surrounding me. All right. Huh? One of us? No, it doesn't mean one of us. Does anybody know the question I just asked? You have it. I see it. It's right out there on the tip of your head.
Move to the other side.
To the other side. It means one who honors God. One who honors God. Isn't that cool? To be a man who honors God, you know, honors the wishes of God, and that your name means exactly that. That was cool. Right? Apparently, I wasn't that guy. You know, I wasn't Timothy, but I must have, when I was a baby, I was a perfect angel, I know. I've seen pictures.
What happened?
I don't know. But apparently, I might have thrown one or two rattles in my day, because in Greek, Gary means spearman, right? I don't know. I even looked up my middle name, and it doesn't even have a definition. So I guess Wade. Wade. No, wait for it. It's Wade. I guess I'm destined to throw things at people, right? That's my name, right? I'm destined to throw things. Now, I remember... And Michelle reminds me of this every once in a while, every now and then, is that we were newly married. Well, we were married quite a few years, but then I was trying to show off. So there's a fly going around, and I know guys always do this. You try to catch the fly, right? So I tried to catch the fly as fast as I could, and she goes, "Well, did you catch it?" And it was like, I didn't think I actually did it. So I went up to her and go, "See?" And I threw the fly in her face. But apparently, apparently it wasn't my fault. It was all my name, right? Spearman. Never my fault. Never my fault. But, you know, names I don't feel really work that way, right? They don't really work that way. I think Timothy would have been an outstanding Christian no matter what his name was. You know, there's a famous quote someone wrote years ago, "A rose by any other name, won't it smell as sweet?" I might have misquoted it, but everybody's heard that, right? You have not. Okay. It's William Shakespeare's from Romeo and Juliet. But what it means is that, you know, if the name was different, then if Rose, if it was named Turtle, it'd still smell like a rose, right? So it'd still be doing the good thing. But it does seem like back in the day, back in Timothy's day, people cared more about what the name meant than just how it sounded. Oh, I haven't heard Timothy for a long time, so I'll name my kid Timothy. No, they actually wanted that name to mean something. And it shows whoever named Timothy would be his parents, probably his mom, you know, her prayers would be that he would honor God. And we're going to start off in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Nick, I don't know, did you want to do the mics? Or no? Yes, no. It don't matter to me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Eunice. All right, so everybody needs to develop their own faith. You know, everybody needs to develop their own faith. Just because someone's parents have great faith doesn't mean it's don't be passed on to their kids. You know, it's something the kids have to choose. It's something you guys have to choose. You know, regardless if your parents were Christians from their birth or if they were just newly Christians, you know, you have to choose to have that relationship with God. On the other hand, what a great example if someone who you're really close to has a faith so strong, a faith rock steady, a faith that you desire to have that same faith. What an awesome example if the ones that you are close to see a desirable faith in you. Wouldn't that be an awesome example to have? Timothy grew up being taught the truth by his grandma and his mom. You know, his grandma Lois, and his mom Eunice. You know, and he lived seeing their faith. He had to develop his own faith, but he desired the same faith that they had, and he received that same faith because of their example. Later in life, Paul was his mentor, Timothy's mentor. Paul wrote letters to encourage and instruct Timothy on different things, right? And it just goes to show, I mean, I think Timothy was a really good guy. But sometimes we just need instructions, right? Something to help us, something to encourage us. So we go through times. And then let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Ryan, can you read that? I'm sorry. Yes, verse 6.
If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Jesus, Christ Jesus, who trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine.
You know, my simple mind goes certain places. It goes all over the place. But my simple mind, it doesn't say exactly, but I picture this as just practice what you preach. You know, practice what you preach. You know the right thing to do, listen to yourself. Because you know the right thing to do. You know, and make sure you're in the word of faith and instructed in good doctrine. Not just what sounds good. So good doctrine is not just what sounds good, and it's not what's, you know, everything, but not the uncomfortable parts, but the whole true word of God. That's what we need to follow. You know, everything. You know, the whole book. We can't add or delete or change things. We have to listen to the whole counsel of Jesus. In verses 7 and 8, Brendan, can you read that? 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7 through 8. Fables.
Exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, have promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come.
Profane. So what's profane? What's profane? It's basically everything ungodly is profane. Or what God doesn't view, or what God views as worthlessness. That's all profane. It's where we get our word profanity. Right? And we've all heard that, right? Profanity. It's an offensive word or offensive language. You know, basically worthless. Right? It may be common. It doesn't mean that it's not ugly. Because it is, it's ugly. It's very offensive to many people. So we need to stay clear of things like that. Things that offend people, things that are ungodly, unrighteous. And then old wives' fables. You know, these are stories, you know, we've all told little stories and they're supposed to be true. But, you know, when you dig a little deeper and they're not true, or they're just superstitious, or superstition. And then we know exercise, right? Exercise is good for the body, isn't it? Right? It's good for the body. But compared to being Christ-like, it only profits us a little. It would be better to be putting more hours in the Bible than at the gym. Because it'd profit you more. Right, Ryan?
Right.
So just remember that. But I mean, if and there's nothing wrong, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with exercising and being healthy and fit, but being mentally fit is profits you more in the long run. And then verses 9 through 11, 9, 10, and 11. Elena, can you read that? When Paul is saying, you know, basically through this, he's saying, trust me. You know, trust me. Because I'm not going to teach you anything that doesn't line up with God's word. You know, it would be valuable for you to apply what I've just told you to your life. That's what he's sharing. Because just as we love Jesus and love everyone else, that's why we work to be better. That's why we work to share God's love. Even if there's obstacles in our ways, you know, even if there's obstacles in our way, we may suffer, but we don't stop. We don't stop. We keep moving forward. It doesn't hinder us. So we need to keep moving forward. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Brandon? Youth, right? Don't despise you because you're youth. Do you know how old they're talking about here? Teenage years. That's a good answer. Anybody have another answer? Yes. Young adults. So not teenagers because teenagers. To what?
Teenagers wasn't really a term.
Yes. Right. And I think that all applies, but when this was written, the term youth applied to men until they were 40. So I'm past youth, but it did apply to men, but I think it also applies to you guys right now. Don't despise, because, and I'll tell you why, but Timothy, he's probably between 35 and 40 when this was written at this time, but he was still young enough that the men all around him, they looked at him. And they looked at him and going, you know, what is this guy? He doesn't have life experience. He can't teach me anything. I know more than him. Has anyone here ever been felt like they've got viewed like that? Oh. Right? We've done that. Now, Paul's instruction says, at the very beginning, let no one despise your youth. Right? Kind of seems impossible, doesn't it, in a way? Because we don't have mind control. At least I don't have mind control to change somebody's attitude about me. Right? But the antidote for these attitudes isn't mind control. It's how we live our life. Paul sets it up in six different areas of life. And the first one is in the Word. Now, most of the time when we see, you know, the Word or something in the Bible, what do we think of? The God's Word, right? Right, and this, Paul's more talking about how we talk to people. In the Word, in our conversations. You know, the tongue is small. It's a small but powerful member of the body. It could be full of deadly poison, or it could be life-quenching cool water. That's the tongue. In Ephesians, we're going to be back in Timothy, but we're going to turn to Ephesians real quick. It's to the left. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And I think I spoke last Wednesday and said that sometimes I have the harder time remembering. I'm not perfect remembering names. Sometimes I'm really good, but sometimes I'm bad. Do you feel like Janice or Jenny? Ginny. It's a J. I was close. Do you feel like reading?
Sure.
So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Edification. So what is that meaning? Anyone can answer, but Jim can answer. Right. So, but you know, how are we supposed to talk with other people? What words are we supposed to be using? Not bad words. Exactly. Precisely. Not bad words. We're supposed to be using words that do something to somebody else. Right? They are to build them up, to edify them, to encourage them, right? Those are the words we're supposed to be using all the time. Not just sometimes, not the times when we're feeling good, but all the time. And then the second area that Paul wants us to concentrate on is in our conduct. In our conduct. What does conduct mean? How we act. Exactly. You know, it's the way we act when we think nobody's watching. Right? You know, people pay attention to what we do and how we do it. You know this, right? I mean, I've been told many times, like, then you're self-conscious a little bit, but you still have to act the way you don't act, right? So Philippians chapter 1, let's turn to Philippians, so it's to the right of Ephesians. It's the next book. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 through 28. Ryan?
27, 28.
Yes.
Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you in person, I may hear you, that you are standing firm in the Spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the day of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation.
So how are we supposed to act in our conduct? Well, that's a very simple answer, right? We're supposed to act well. We're supposed to act so that God is proud of us, right? And that people will know that we are saved by God's grace, right? You know, we're not to be terrified by our adversaries. So that's the enemy, the people against us, which it doesn't prove that their own of destruction, but prove that we are saved because of our salvation, right? So that's how we're supposed to act. The third area we're supposed to concentrate on is love, in love. Right? And I can't do any more justice than reading straight from the Bible their definition of love, or Paul's definitions of love, and that's in 1 Corinthians. It's a very famous chapter in the book, Bible, in the book of the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians what? Chapter 13. No. Chapter 13. Chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. We're just going to read a bit of it, but this gets the point across. Nick, can you read that? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 7. This is what love is. Your love, it's powerful, right? It's the most powerful. But there's a lot of stipulations to love, right? And trusting all things, and believing all things, and hoping all things. And the fourth area we're supposed to concentrate on is in spirit. In spirit. The attitude and helpful guidance of a helper, right? And the helper's name would be, huh? Jesus, yeah. But he gave us a helper, a comforter. The Holy Spirit, right? That attitude, he'll give us the right attitude. He'll help us. He'll comfort us in our hour of need. In John, so we don't go to the left, John chapter 14. John 14, verse 26. Elena, can you read that? He'll help us, right? He'll help us to remember things and teach us all things. The fifth area that Paul has us working on is in faith. In faith. Faith is everything that we should be, we should have everything we do, we should be trusting in God. We should trust God with everything we have. In 1 John, so we're in John, but we're going to go to 1 John. That's towards the back of the Bible, the very back of the Bible. But it's 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. Brendan? So who overcomes the world? Jesus did overcome the world. But who is the one who overcomes the world? You are? Brandon is. Yes. Do you believe in Jesus? That Jesus is the Son of God? Then yes, you are the man what overcomes the world. Hopefully all of you guys here are the people what will overcome the world. And then our last area Paul wants us to look at in our lives is in purity. Thank you. Purity. She's on it. Impurity. So, purity, what do we first think of when we think of purity? I know what I think of, but anyone? No? Yes? No? Huh? Cleanliness, yes. Being pure, nice and clean. Right. Huh? Stay golden. Okay. All right. Yes, we need to stay clean and righteous in both spiritual, our sexual matters, right? And in thought. You know, there was, I can't believe, but was it two seasons ago or 2 years ago, we did the purity, you know, went to that thing with the purity ring? Was it only a year? Okay. All right, I, it just seems like a long time. But, you know, purity, right? Let's turn to Ephesians. So it's again to the left. Well, yeah, it's to the left. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. And Brandon? Yes, Ephesians 5:5. So what is that telling us? We got to be pure to enter where? To enter heaven, right? Because if we're non-pure, because all that little list that they have, right, do you think those are pure things to do? No, they're not pure things to do. And that's why they don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Now let's go back to our main text in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So Paul wants us to work on those areas because that's how, you know, those people aren't, don't despise you and think that you're not, you know, you have nothing to add to the conversation. You know, if you work on those areas, it's in our conduct, it's how we do things, it's how we live our lives. So living it righteously. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Jenny, can you read that? Prophecy. You know, back then, they didn't only read their Bibles in private. It's actually in Acts and in the synagogues, they would read the Bibles aloud in public. Right? So in the reading, and I feel like if you're reading the Bible in public, it's almost, so I don't want to say proud because pride is not a good thing. It's never a good thing. But that's what you believe. You're not embarrassed is a good word. You're not embarrassed to read out loud. You know, because you believe it, that's who you are. Right? You know, exhortation is the encouragement to everyone, to encouraging people in letting them know that they're not alone, that Jesus is there to help them in everything they do. If they fall down, he's going to pick you up. You know, he's there for you. And then in doctrine, of course, doctrine is very important. God's word is extremely important. It's something that we should all be studying, you know, and learning. And then our gifts. Right? We shouldn't be neglecting our gifts. If God gave us those gifts. He gave us those gifts so we could glorify him. That's what they're there for. So our gifts and talents, we should use them whenever we can. Then let's read 15 and 16. Nick? So meditate, meaning that you'll think on these things. Put these things in your mind and just ponder them. You know, and don't do things because I said it. You know, they're in the Bible, right? We should take this. You know, these are good instructions. And good instructions are always helpful, aren't they? They're helpful in our lives. So we should apply these things, but we should keep them in the forefront of our brain, knowing these things because they will help you. They'll help you and they'll help the people around you because we all want to be a better example for them, right? Brendan, can you close us in prayer?